We are pleased to have Jack Everly come and speak to us. I think most of you know Jack.
He's been to every conference I've ever been to.
Jack, welcome to the Bible Forum. Nice to have you here. And to open this session, I've asked Tony Lopez if he would lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your awesome word, like my evening, Father, that we can all come here together in fellowship, glorifying you in your word. Father, thank you for everyone's life here. We thank you for those who have yet to arrive, who perhaps may be on route here, that you can guard them. And so we thank you for a blessed evening. We thank you for Jack's life and his teaching. And we hope for the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen. You can tell he's going to have a good session by the way he prayed. He knows where it's at.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, this is a great group.
Thank you.
All 2,000 of you. I'm not a good, very good on numbers.
Yeah.
I'll have to be like Dave accused me of being an evangelist. Evangelistically speaking, you know. We used to have a saying at Bob Newton University when somebody reported on a big meeting. Oh, possibly. And, how many people were there? Well, at least 5,000. Yeah, it might have been 50. You know. And I call that evangelistically speaking. But I'm going to take that as a compliment. One of the reasons is I don't get too many compliments. But another one is it's kind of unusual. Evangelistically speaking, what my school's evangelism boy. That's another load that I've never thought about that. It wouldn't be a bad idea because, you know, Ephesians 4 does say that he gave some evangelists. Now, maybe we sort of overlook that sometimes. We think of evangelists as this kind of fly-by-night kind of goofy type of people. Maybe I don't know what's in your mindset about them. I've seen both kinds, maybe all kinds, but really, God did put some evangelists in the Bible, believe it or not. So you've got to accept that. And they have a different way of reaching people. And another thing, one thing I agree, I don't know about being an evangelist or not, but one thing I agree is, I think Ephesians 3:9, it says that to make all see. It doesn't say men in there, that's a bad translation, King James or not. It, to make all see. What is the dispensation of the mystery? To make all see. Now that includes those beings up there that we have no idea about, well, very little idea about it. There we describe principalities and powers. Numis arche, and there's another word, cosmocrators, I think. That's who the three categories they give us on that, the scripture gives us on that. And those are the people, those are the beings who are looking down on us in this audience today, so we cannot shortchange this audience and this meeting just because there are only 25 of us here. Because I guarantee you there are a whole lot more of them. Whoever they are, whatever they are. So if you denigrate this session, and any sessions, this whole weekend, if you denigrate it, you're out of step with the Word. And sometimes that's normal, because we're human beings. we think, like human beings do. We think in small terms sometimes, like, oh, we're just humans. And sometimes we get a little down, we feel like, and we're oppressed, and we're just us and a few little other people. Well, you know, that's all right. Those things come upon us because we are human beings, but we've got to remember the Word, okay? The Word is our book. Our book. Nobody voted that in, it just is. God has made it that way. The Word is our book. Your book. Especially our book because you are the believers of the body today. And this book is not written to Moses' people anymore. It's not written to the people who lived in the first several thousand years. Until Adam died 930. It's not written to those people. To those people. It's written to the people who are here today in this meeting tonight. You. Now I'm not saying that to build up your ego. Because frankly, your ego is probably in the way of progressing in the Word, and then we need to get down to the real deal. That's just an invitation. Now let's get down to the real deal, and the real deal is the Word of God. That's what we need to have, the Word of God. We don't need to just have it in our hands in a book. We need to have it in our hearts. And we need to have it in our minds. We need to use the Word of God. Use it. Possess the Word of God in our beings, in our lives. Use it. And one of the ways you get to using it is practicing it. You say, well, why are you saying that to me? You know, when I was a kid and I listened, he mentioned evangelism, so I'm taking the opportunity here. When I was a kid and listened to these evangelists, I used to think, how does he know me? I need to know me. But that's what I was thinking. I'm just one of the many people in there. And yet, he was preaching to me. And sometimes I didn't like it. Sometimes I got convicted. Wonder why that was. Obviously, that's the way the Lord wanted it. Because those were always very helpful to me. And I'm talking about honest, good Bible teaching, Bible direct teaching. Now we got to get to it. I passed this sheet out here because I wanted you to have something in your hands. And you can mull over it. You can take your pen and pencil and scratch over it and say wrong and then put another verse there, straighten it out or something. And then when you talk to somebody, you can straighten it out and make it better. How would that be? Yeah, great. That'd be wonderful. But anyway, we're going to have the Word here to work on. Now the topic here that Bob set out, and I suppose under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we should have Colossians 3, and I think he said 1 to 3. So we're going to try to cover that scripturally, what God says. And here we have, if ye then be risen with Christ, if, that's the big if. Here's where the evangelist should take a half an hour and decide, and have you decide, if you are really His, and if you are really His, at this time, in this dispensation, then you are risen. That's not just a casual word. Where's Peter? He wasn't there. No, none of them were there. Why? Because they're human. They are who's like us. Would you have been there? It's hard for you to answer that question living here. Don't even try. Forget it. It's past. You can't forget what he did on the cross. But he did it for you. He knew how things would be. He knew how you would be. He knew how I would be. He knew how we all are. He knows. He knew. He knew back then, and he knows now. And he'll know how you'll be tomorrow. So when he died on the cross, he knew who he was dying for. And he was dying for his body. He was dying for the church. Who is his body? That's what I'm trying to point out here too. Just that word. Now in this little section, this little paragraph that we are assigned here, and it's fine, it's God's word. Got to know this, that God's statements here, as everywhere in the Holy Book, are absolute. He couldn't mean, yes, he does, he means it. They're absolute and unequivocal. These statements that God makes in every portion of his word is absolute and unequivocal. I don't care if you can get a whole barricade of lawyers in, they can talk all they want, and it will not change one iota. One yod is what it is in the Hebrew. That's where we got that word from, the yod. It's yod, Y-O-D-H. It's a piece of some Hebrew letters. And not one of those will pass away. Nobody on this earth, or no amalgamation of people, or no unions, or no governments will change that ever. Now there are seven statements made here which make your purpose, your life, and your destiny absolutely clear. Go out in the morning, I love it in the summer in the south, and even up here. In the summer, you go out in the morning, have a good sleep, you wake up, and the first thing you see, many days, is fog. You look out there and you can't see anything else. It's all white, foggy, but it feels so good. You know, it's almost like standing in the shower. You want to talk about that? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I love it. He loves us so much. He gave us this great, wonderful earth to live in. And that's a wonderful thing, and it's timeless. And you know, the Word of God is precise. Precise, and that's why you memorize the Scriptures. Instead of, well, it says something like this. No, I've done too much of that. More of that than I like to admit. But we need to know the Word of God as He wrote it. Jot and tittle. The tittle is the overhang on the knee. If you don't have it, you got an arm. God himself in Christ has made everything stated here perfectly bonded. You know how somebody has to be under bond, like a $500,000 bond for major crimes, $50 bond for something else. But the Word of God is perfectly bonded. You don't go out there and pay any bondsman. It's already bonded because Christ paid the price. He's already paid your bond. Satan can accuse you, and he can accuse you truly and have all justification and verification. Says this person believes, belongs in the pits of hell with me. This person, you don't know, Lord, what he's done.
Yeah.
hard time about that. You know, like the teacher in school?
Now, don't be afraid to ask questions, because if you ask questions, I'll tell you what you want to know. And then you raise your hand and say, okay, raising your hand, you always raise your hand. You know how the teachers are sometimes. I used to be one. So I can talk about it.
And won't be like that in the upon heavens. Or are we right there? Love those questions. We'll love the answers. Love you one. Might be a little while till it gets here, not too long. A little while. Now we go to verse 1 here, and I want to point out some of these, well, some of the key words here in the Greek.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Kind of revise that a little bit. You know, a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine and yours, decided to write these books in the Greek. Now, if you don't like that, you have to tell him about it. I'll admit, when I went to college and worked on my final degree, the first thing I had to take my first year was Greek every day. 5 hours. I wasn't interested in Greek. In fact, 90% of the kids that want to learn the Bible aren't interested in Greek. Why do they have to learn the Greek? Because God decided to put his Greek scriptures in Greek. And furthermore, he didn't put it in classical Greek. He put it in everyday Greek. The Greek of the workman. The Greek of the neighbor. The Greek of the guy who never wrote anything but bills and notes to the neighbor and things like that. And they wrote them on charts and other kinds of small things. And they wrote those things in Greek because they were Greek. And that Greek was a language, one of the prime languages of the day, because of how God had made the political empires and the military empires crisscross in that land there. They ended up with that language, Greek, being spoken by the people in Israel primarily. And that's why he wrote the language in that Greek. Not classical Greek, it's the everyday Greek. So, I don't know why God did that. I mean, you can figure it out maybe, but that's still what you start thinking. But he did. So you say, what does that have to do with me? Well, it has a lot to do with you, because this book had to be translated from that language into the English language. And translators are people, unfortunately. God did not send a whole bevy of Gabriels and Michaels down here to translate it. Amen. You say, well, why? Yeah, we maybe wish he would, but no, he had a reason. He took some cruddy, ugly old men and had them do this. Maybe some nice little ones, I don't know. But he had them translate the scriptures. But they were people. And they made mistakes. Oh, heaven forbid. Well, heaven did forbid it. But maybe more than the guys that wrote it down to start with, wasn't so much the mistakes they made, but it was the people who copied it. Well, if you wrote a book today, and then 100 years later somebody copied that book by hand, mistakes would they make? Well, for now, we're finding scraps of paper that were like 200 years from the time that it was first written down. And that's early, because that means only 200 years of copies could be making mistakes. That's a lot better than the 400 or 500 years, which the King James Version comes after those guys that were writing, because they found manuscripts now go back further, closer to the original time, so they're likely to be a little more accurate. Hopefully, all things being equal, but there are little mistakes, but it's amazing. You take many manuscripts found here and there, here, there, left, all over the place, and they say the same things 90% of the time, maybe 95% of the time. I don't know. Maybe 96. I mean the same exact things a lot of the time. So even though they copied and copied and copied, they still, for the most part, got it right. And that's what we're going on. And God's Holy Spirit teaches us the Word. If you learn anything, God's Holy Spirit is talking to you.
Amen.
Now this word here is sooner than they need, and it means you were raised. You were raised. If ye then were raised with Christ. If you then were raised with Christ. That's the question that Colossians 3:1 has for you. If you then were raised with Christ. That's not a question that you ask your neighbor particularly. But it could be. It could be a form of your witness. If you then were raised with Christ. Okay, what's the sequel? The sequel is, seek those things which are above. And I don't think that's late night TV. I got a big one now right now. It's the only thing I can think of. I don't think it's late night TV, though. Think about it. If I'm wrong, you show me. Oh, yeah, but an evangelist on there with two guns and a funny hat. No, no. Still not late night TV. It's not one of those programs. It's God's program. And it's God's program. You're risen. You're risen. We say, I don't feel risen. Well, you're not strapped in that seat. Anybody strapped in the seat? Take it off right away. Because it'll be more fun going up. Because it might not make it through this message. Wouldn't that be great? Boy, I would love that. Now, I know you said, yeah, not as much as me would. Okay. I understand. But listen, anytime. Our brother talked about Revelation 12 tonight. You know, I have some serious thoughts about that. May have already happened. I don't know, you know. Could it be Satan's already been cast out? And he's down here making things devilish for the Jews? Because that's who he's going to pick on when he gets cast out. He's going to go after the Jews like never before. Is Syria leading up to that? How many Jews believe in Christ? How many Jews believe in Christ? Give me a number just for us to enjoy this conversation. Just give me a number. How many?
Zero.
Oh, I think some. You know, I don't have any ideas about that, actually. But you know, if Satan's already cast out, he's down here. Look at the things that are happening around us all the time. Wow. Sodom and Gomorrah? That used to be a fairy tale. Now it's not anymore. Whoa. Back up. Are we all going to be in Sodom and Gomorrah? Is it going to be the world of Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't know. That's tragic. Drugs. Revelation talks about drugs. Yeah. So maybe Satan's been cast out. Revelation 12. We're going to go up before the tribulation. We're going to go up before the millennium. We're going to go up before many of those things. We know that. You know that. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and shall ye smiling faces also appear with him in glory. Amen. You know, you got that picture when you were, and you like to show that to each other and look at it yourself and see how, oh man, I was that little guy there. I was that pretty girl with a bow in her hand. That was my first name. You know, you like that, all that you love, don't you? Don't you? I think every human you do, look back on those scrapbooks, oh my, aren't they wonderful? That's because that's us, way back here. And that was mom and dad, isn't that wonderful? Well, it's going to be even more wonderful because the real you cleansed from all these physical deformities, difficulties, aches and pains, and cleansed from all these worldly cares. Yeah, that'll be us. That'll be us for real. The real you, God has redeemed. Yeah, that'll be us. Huh? Yep. And you won't be, you won't have to worry about the weight anymore. You won't have to worry about the other reverse weight. You won't have to worry about the weight. You won't have to worry about the blood counts and the operations. You won't have to worry about those things. Insurance, oh my. You won't have to worry about that. None of those cares. As you cast them all upon him, because he cares for you. That's the best thing to do. All right. Maybe we're getting to that time when he's going to take us up anytime. Remember Titus 2:12-13? Be looking for him. Be looking for him. Is that you, Lord? Be looking for him. So I'm here to the right hand of God. Now the Kathamanos. Kathamanos. City. Oh, you don't like to sit. Sometimes it'll be different there. You won't mind. You'll love to sit and listen. And whatever he says, you'll want to listen. While your ears will just be ringing with truth. And you'll just love it so much. Just be a tremendous zing, whatever. Say, well, use the word you want. A joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. You will fulfill that then. That's what you'll do daily. Go on to verse 2. Set your affection on things above. Why should you not? Not on things on the earth. Don't think about it. Don't be down there worrying about all that. On things above. Yeah, the above things. Those are yours. And verse 3. Hey, Zoe, fun. The life of you. When Christ.
verse 3. For you are dead. That person that God saved is dead. The old person is the dead person is the old person. The new person is the one living. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hid. Why is it hid? You remember what else is hidden? Tell me. Give me the verse. Give me the reference. What else is hidden?
All treasures of truth and wisdom.
Ephesians 3:9. The mystery is hid in God.
Amen.
And you're a part of that. In the Christ. You are hidden in the Christ. Now. But at that time, it'll be your coming out party. All of our coming out party. Won't have to worry about that sore back. That knee. Those eyes. Don't have to worry about those. See in the dark tomorrow. Praying for a good report. You don't have to worry about all of those. No. Don't have to worry about them. I mean, you don't have to worry about them now. Cast your care upon him. Cast your care upon him. That doesn't mean hand it to him. Lord, would you please take it down? Lord, I can't do it. That's his words. I can't do it, Lord. You got to take over. And some worldly person, are you measly, weakly? What do they know? They don't know anything about God's grace. They don't know anything about God's people. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about your image in the world. Worry about the Lord, what he thinks. He's probably thinking, why doesn't that guy trust in me? Why doesn't my believer there let me take care of this? Cast it on him. Are you preaching universal healing? No, I'm not preaching healing or anything. It's in God's will, but he does what's best for you and I. Christo in the Christ. Well, first thing to sum up, the Word is what we have to go by. No ifs, ands, and buts, no trimming. The Word is what we go by. Now you can't just pick and choose what part of the Word that you want to follow. And you can't pick and choose, or you can't just forget it and say, well, Lord, you know, here's what I want to do. Okay. You can't do that. You can do it among your peers here, but you can't do that under the Lord. He doesn't want that. You're not going to be in good standing with him in that. No. The more you give to him, the more. I mean, give him your troubles. He knows them anyway. He's wondering why you won't let him take care of them. No, I'm not preaching healing. I'm just preaching the scriptures. But you don't know. No, I don't. I don't. And you don't know much. So you can sympathize with one another. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything about that. But I'm saying the Lord is the one who has to take care of these things. Cast your care on him. In the Christ. When we deal in the
can, and you tell him, that's a good start. Because the next sentence has to be, I can't do this, Lord, but can you help me? Something like that. And as your life goes on, you'll be surprised at what he will help you to do that you didn't think you could do. You know what? You were right. You couldn't do it. But you can with him. Or he can with you. And he wants to have you to use for his glory and yours too. You people with the gray hairs, don't worry about them. You got hair. Yeah, don't worry about it if you don't have it. Lord, I'm just an old bullhead. What can you do with me? He'll show you, I guarantee you.
Wow.
So we put him on our mailing list and sent him some information about the word, and then we talked again, shared prayer requests, and praying for some of his relatives and so on. But he called me from Mexico. First thing he said, "Did you have a good holiday?" I said, "Well, pretty good. But, you know, we're not great on the holidays anyway, so I couldn't go on any more about that too much." But anyway, then we got into this about the Bible and the Lord and so forth. And he kept making some nice remarks. Well, God knows all that. He knows the guy. May never see him again, but I never saw him anyway, really. We may never see him on this earth, but maybe at the right hand. I'll see. Another blessing I had was a guy, he used to be a counselor at the school there in Parkersburg. I was the second elementary counselor in the camp, Wood Camp. And anyway, I was in the lounge one day. I had some hours where I had counselees coming. I was in the lounge one day, and this teacher was sitting there, a guy named Jerry Alawat. Actually, his name was Alawat. He had, at this time I didn't know anything about him, except he was teaching fifth grade there. I found out he'd been thrown out of the Navy. It seemed to me he'd got to be pretty bad to be thrown out of the Navy. But anyway, he'd been thrown out of the Navy. And we talked, and somehow or another, in that little session in there with the teachers, the guy was saying something about the Bible, and I chimed in a couple times and started still saying stuff about the Bible. So then they all went back because the bell rang, and Jerry was still there. He said he didn't have a class next period. He said, "Jack, I've always wanted to know about the Bible." He said, "Do you know anything about the Bible?" I said, "Well, I might be able to get you started a little bit." So we talked a little bit, and he came back one day and he said, "You know, Jack," he said, "best thing I can figure is I'm on the hot seat." I said, "Well, I'm not sure what you mean about that, Jerry, but anyway," I said, you probably need to be saved. "Okay, how do you do that?" "Well," I tried to tell him. Well, as a counselor, I couldn't say go to this church or that church or anything like that. I said, "Well, there are a couple of pastors I know that you could make a profession." "Well," and I said, "what you want to do is when you know Christ as your Savior," and I explained that to him over a period of several days, often one in between classes, "you go to this pastor and tell him you want to make a profession. And they'll arrange a time for you to go forth from there and announce to everybody there that you've asked the Lord to save you. Or you are saved," whatever. So, anyway, Jerry and I, at that time, I didn't even know anything about Pike Division. But Jerry and I parted company. I didn't see him for a long time. But I got all the truth for today. So you say, "What does that have to do with it?" That's what I'm thinking, too. Okay, I get all the truth for today, I think. And I read them faithfully, and I've gone through them. This is the third time. And one of those, remember Oscar, how he used to have two columns, one on the left and one on the right? And the one on the right, he'd say a statement about what Truth for Today was about. And then he would say, so-and-so and so-and-so finished the correspondence course and so on. Well, one day, on one of those, Jerry Alawati finished the correspondence course. Wow. Coincidence? Hey, it was a blessing, huh? Let's praise the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Oh, you're so great. You take care of us so much. You help us. Thank you, Lord, for
these people. They love each other. And they love you, Lord. But they need your help. They want your help. Please help and teach by your Spirit. And guide them. Watch over them, Lord. Help them with their aches and pains. Guide them in their daily activities. Lead them and direct them as to how you would want them to go, step by step. For you're the great and loving God and our wonderful and powerful Savior. And we look forward to seeing you, Lord.